This is the potter's touch.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. This series, Reel It In, has really impacted people in a supernatural way. And I cannot wait to share this message with you because it is so important that you do not compromise your integrity because of what you are trying to accomplish. The message is called, Don't Settle. Don't you do it. This is a prophetic word. It is a powerful word. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. And don't settle. Everybody Jesus called was busy. You don't see Jesus calling sleepy people. No lazy people. When he found the disciples, they were after it. He taught them. He trained them. But God uses people that move. God uses people that move. All right? Now, we're going to go into this today. I'm going to read Hebrews 11 and 1 because it is quick and it's easy, and I want you to remember it. And then we're going to go into Genesis 17, 14 through 22 and try to unload the principles that Hebrews 11 and 1 shares with us. Hebrews 11 and 1, when you have it, say amen. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go to Genesis. I'm tempted to jump on that right now, but I'll be back to it in a minute. Glory to God, it's going to be good in here this morning. Genesis 17, 14. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. You got kings in you. You got nations in you. You're barren right now. But you got kings and you got nations in you. You're broke right now. But you got kings and you got nations in you. You're lonely right now. But you got kings and you got nations in you. So you cannot judge what's in you by what you see around you. Oh my God. And it's going to come of her. It's going to come out of you. Then Abraham fell upon his face. Please, come on, Jesus, get a clue. You got to be kidding. Ain't no way in the world you could be talking about me and Sarai. He said, as her, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 99 years old bear? It's too late. Too much has happened. We've been through too much. My past experiences inform me that what you say is in front of me is not possible because I have no point of reference. My neighbors are not getting pregnant. My friends are not getting pregnant. The people I went to school with are not getting pregnant. It's hard for me to believe what I don't see. You gotta be joking. Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, I got this kid over here, you know. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Ishmael, that's it. That's it. That's it. You know, that situation that happened. What had happened was, and God says, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. I'm not talking about Ishmael. I'm talking about Isaac. I'm not talking about some substitute blessing. I'm talking about Isaac. I'm not talking about a counterfeit situation. I'm talking about Isaac. I do not need you to cover for me. I'm talking about Isaac. You don't have to try to make it look good. I'm talking about Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I hear you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee. He said, what I'm talking about is not anything that you have seen so far. At this set time in the next year, you got 3 months to get pregnant and 9 months to deliver. And when he said that, he left off talking with Abraham and left. Wow. My subject this morning is don't settle. Don't settle. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You all ready for this? I was thinking about Hebrews 11, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. And then you go through this long dissertation about things they did by faith. There is so much said about faith that there is a misunderstanding in the text. You would think when you read the text that the star of the text is faith. But the faith is not the star of the text. Hope is the star of the text. Faith is a supporting actor. If faith is the substance of the thing I hope for, then hope is the star and faith is the support. If you don't have a hope, faith has no job. Let me say that again. If you don't have a hope, faith has no job. Let me tell you why it's getting increasingly difficult to get people to come to church. The reason it is becoming increasingly difficult to get people to come to church is that they have lost hope. I know you've lost hope because I can tell by the way you eat that you've lost hope. Because see, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But when your faith has nothing to do, you're not hungry. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What drives you to come to church is so that you can feed your faith. But if your faith isn't doing anything, your faith isn't hungry, and your faith can't do anything if you have no hope. No, if there's nothing in front of you, if you're just going through the motions, if your life is just ritualistic and routine, you're not even listening at me good this morning. The only people who are really listening at me are people who are involved in a process, in a fight, in a battle, after something, trying to bring it in, trying to get it together, and they're sitting up, and they're sitting up and saying, oh, now come on, talk to me now, say something now, talk to me. I didn't come out here to show off my tie. I didn't come out here to show off my socks. I came out here because I'm trying to feed this faith. I'm in a fight right now, and I need some word that will anchor me so that I can go forward. Hope is an expected end. It is an expected end. It is not necessarily a specific process. The hope is an expected end. When it's all over, this is what I'm hoping. Hope has nothing to do with process. It has everything to do with destination. Hope is a broad perspective. It's not always specific. Lord, you put a business in my heart. That's my hope. I see a building I want to execute my hope. My hope is that I'll be in business. My faith says I need a building. Now, if this building doesn't come through, don't think I lost my hope. Because my faith, if it can't ride in a helicopter, it'll jump on a motorcycle. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I may have to change the method. Give me another rod. I may have to get another fishing rod. Change the bait. I may have to change the bait. Modify the hook. Bend that hook. I may have to modify the hook, but the expected end is still the same. And whether I bring it in by hook or whether I throw my net, at the end of the day, you getting on this boat. You getting on this boat. I'm not going to come back empty-handed. I didn't live this life to come back with an empty boat. If I have to toil all night, if I have to strip out my clothes and jump in the sea naked, you getting on this boat. See, we got all of this teaching about faith, 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 faith. But we're talking to people who have settled in a court case. When a court case is being litigated, many times before you go into litigation, they'll give you an opportunity to settle. And a lot of people settle not because they're innocent or guilty. They settle because it costs so much to litigate the case. And sometimes when it comes down to a case where you have unprecedented expense, you will settle the case because you don't want to pay the cost. But when you are highly principled, sometimes it's not about the cost, it's about getting to the facts. And whatever it costs you, you say, no, Judge. I know it's going to be expensive. I know it's going to be an inconvenience. I know you got to have jury selection. I know it's going to be tough. But I refuse to settle. All around me, I see people who've settled. This is driving me crazy. All around me, I see people who've settled with less than what God promised them, who've just made do out of their life. All around me, I see people who stopped swinging. I've seen people who've gotten 40, you quit at 40? Well, if it was going to happen, it would have happened. I'm getting older now, and I'm just going to let myself go out, and I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. I'm not picking out no caskets. Surprise me. I am not. I know you get a discount if you buy early, but I am not planning to die. I'm planning to live. Surprise me. I will not settle. It may take longer. It may be harder. I may have to pay more. I may have to go this way when I thought I could go that way. I may have to go with this one and not with that one. I may have to change this. I may have to change bait, hook, rod, and reel. But when it's over, you getting on this boat. That's the kind of people I like to run with. I like to run with people who will not take no for an answer. I like to run with people who refuse to settle on less than the best for what God has in your life. Now, faith, the reason I'm out here and the reason I listen up when I have a respected minister in front of me, because everybody can't feed me. I'll listen up when the word has been proven in your life, because I came to eat. I love all the other stuff you do. It's wonderful. It's good. I came to eat. I got to feed this thing. I got to feed this thing because I'm in a fight every day. I got to feed it every day. It's not like I don't have opposition. It's not like I don't have other voices on my shoulder telling me what I can't do and what I can't have, and that I'm too old or I'm too short or I'm too tall or I'm too stupid or I'm too something. There's always something on the other shoulder telling me to settle. I need to feed this other voice so I can fight back this voice. That's why I need faith. And faith is manufactured in the factory of word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But when it comes to my faith, I want a lion in the pulpit. I don't want no pussycat. I want a lion. Glory to God. I want a lion in the pulpit. Hallelujah. I want somebody that's still got a roar. Glory to God. Thank you. I feel good down in my soul. Touch your neighbor and tell him something's going to happen in here this morning. You look nice, but I didn't come to see your outfit. You smell good, but I didn't come to smell your cologne. I came to a church where something's going to happen. Glory to God. How many people in here trying to reel it in? You know, I went deep sea fishing, and I was really after something I could mount on the wall. Yeah, I did. I wanted more big old sailfish. You know, spread out its fins and everything, put it on the wall. Threw out my bait, got out there, and I caught a few snapper. Snapper's good eating. It's good. I'm not disputing the fact that it has some value, but it's not mountable. You don't go in nobody's house and see a snapper. I was encouraged by the snapper. They are biting. But I wasn't satisfied. Don't become satisfied with something that should only encourage you that you're in the right spot. I wanted the sailfish so that when people came over, I'd have something to point at. Pray for me. Because if you don't have nothing to point out, people think you're lying. When you tell them it's 9 feet long, they say, yeah, it's about 6. But when you got your trophy on the wall, it will shut every mouth you got on this boat. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus couldn't preach. He didn't write a book. He didn't open up a church. He wasn't prophetic. Couldn't even sing, as far as we know. Of all the people that could have been raised from the dead that would have been functional, you could have found somebody better than Lazarus. Why did he raise Lazarus from the dead? Because he wanted something to point at. So that when his haters came along and they doubted the authenticity of his faith and they didn't believe he was the Messiah, Lazarus didn't have to preach. Lazarus didn't have to sing. All Lazarus had to do was sit there and breathe. You need some kind of trophy that proves that he that is in you is greater than he that's after you. Glory to God. If you tweet and put on the hashtag, reel it in, we're gonna reel some things in. We're not going to live and die and shout and fall out and talk in tongues and not produce anything. When Jesus came down to the seashore and saw the disciples who had been fishing all night, he didn't ask them how long had they been fishing. He said, have you caught anything? He didn't ask them, how old are you? He said, have you caught anything? Hope is an expected end. It says, when it's all over, I'm going to catch something. I'm going to reel it in. I'm going to preach something. I'm going to build something. I'm going to make something happen. I am not going to live and die and not leave anything in the earth as a sign that I was here. I'm going to build something. I'm going to leave stones as a memorial. I'm going to leave an ark on a hill. I'm going to leave some sort of sign that my children and my children's children will know that when I pass through the world, the Lord was with me. I will not settle. Even if I have to start over, even if it took longer than I expected, even if I have to make payments, even if I have to crawl on my belly. Hey, we'll be right back after this.
This is the Potter's Touch.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. This series, Reel It In, has really impacted people in a supernatural way. And I cannot wait to share this message with you because it is so important that you do not compromise your integrity because of what you are trying to accomplish. The message is called Don't Settle. Don't you do it. This is a prophetic word. It is a powerful word. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. And don't settle.
I went deep sea fishing and I was really after something I could mount on the wall. Yeah, I did. I wanted more big old sailfish. You know, spread out its fins and everything, put it on the wall. Threw out my bait, got out there, and I caught a few snapper. Snapper's good eating. It's good. I'm not disputing the fact that it has some value, but it's not mountable. You don't go in nobody's house and see a snapper. I was encouraged by the snapper. They are biting. But I wasn't satisfied. Don't become satisfied with something that should only encourage you that you're in the right spot. I wanted the sailfish so that when people came over, I'd have something to point at. Pray for me. Because if you don't have nothing to point out, people think you're lying. When you tell them it's 9 feet long, they say, yeah, it's about six. But when you got your trophy on the wall, it will shut every mouth you got on this boat. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus couldn't preach. He didn't write a book. He didn't open up a church. He wasn't prophetic. He couldn't even sing, as far as we know. Of all the people that could have been raised from the dead that would have been functional, you could have found somebody better than Lazarus. Why did he raise Lazarus from the dead? Because he wanted something to point at. So that when his haters came along and they doubted the authenticity of his faith and they didn't believe he was the Messiah, Lazarus didn't have to preach. Lazarus didn't have to sing. All Lazarus had to do was sit there and breathe. You need some kind of trophy that proves that he that is in you is greater than he that's after you. Glory to God. If you tweet and put on the hashtag, reel it in, we're gonna reel some things in. We're not going to live and die and shout and fall out and talk in tongues and not produce anything. When Jesus came down to the seashore and saw the disciples who had been fishing all night, he didn't ask them how long had they been fishing. He said, have you caught anything? He didn't ask them how old are you. He said, have you caught anything? Hope is an expected end. It says when it's all over, I'm going to catch something. I'm going to reel it in. I'm going to preach something. I'm going to build something. I'm going to make something happen. I am not going to live and die and not leave anything in the earth as a sign that I was here. I'm going to build something. I'm going to leave stones as a memorial. I'm going to leave an ark on a hill. I'm going to leave some sort of sign that my children and my children's children will know that when I pass through the world, the Lord was with me. I will not settle. Even if I have to start over, even if it took longer than I expected, even if I have to make payments, even if I have to crawl on my belly, I will not settle. I will not settle. I will not do it. I will not settle. I will fight you every morning. You whip me on Tuesday, you're going to have to whip me on Wednesday. You whip me on Wednesday, I'll see you Thursday afternoon. I will fight you every day. I will not settle. When God comes to speak to Abraham, he comes to speak to Abram. Because Abram wants to settle. He just wants to settle. He loves God, but he wants to settle. It took too long. Too tough. Too many oppositions. Just wants to settle. Maybe I misunderstood what God said. Maybe it wasn't for me. Maybe I'm not smart enough to do this. Maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe. People who settle always have a maybe. Maybe I didn't get it right. Maybe he meant this. Maybe he meant for me to do it in the house. Maybe he meant this over here. Maybe he meant it for this. Maybe. It's how you tranquilize your hope. It's how you tranquilize your hope. Because you don't want to deal with the pain of having not attained. So you move the goal to line up with where you are. I jotted down five little notes that I learned from Genesis 17, 14 through 22 that I want to pass on to you. The first one is covenant before circumcision. God gives Abram the covenant before the circumcision. Circumcision is symbolic of the cutting away of the filth of the flesh. It is symbolic of cutting away that which is not essential to be productive. Circumcision is cutting away that is not essential to be reproductive. Now, if you are going to reel it in, you are going to have to cut away that is not essential to be productive. If it's not helping you get there, cut it off. You're not on my team? Snippy. Don't hate you, not mad at you. Just not essential. Got to go. But watch this. The covenant comes before the circumcision. The covenant is the promise. So the promise has come. The promise from God has come to Abram before the circumcision, so that you won't think that the circumcision earned the covenant. So God said, I'm going to make you the promise while you still have no sign of the covenant and you haven't cut away that is not necessary. I'm going to give you the covenant on credit. So you're not circumcising so that you can get the covenant. You got the covenant, and therefore you are circumcising. Oh, God. See, the covenant is the expected end. The circumcision is part of the process. You don't get right so you can get saved. You get saved so you can get right. Let me try to tell them. You don't get right so you can get saved. You get saved so you can get right. If you could get right before you got saved, you wouldn't need to get saved. You got saved so you could get right. That's why when you get saved, you can't praise yourself. It is God and God alone that did the work. So covenant comes before circumcision. I have the contract before I circumcise. I have it in my spirit before I cut off that is not necessary out of my life. If you don't have a hope in your spirit, you don't have a chance of circumcising your flesh. No need of us teaching you no classes on discipline. How are you going to discipline somebody who's not a disciple? You keep coming up with all of these, I got to be more disciplined. No, you need a covenant. You need a promise. You need a hope. You need a goal. Let me tell you something. If you're going to train, if you're going to physically train, you got to train with a goal in mind. You can't be on that treadmill seeing yourself fat. Seeing yourself fat will make you have another piece of cheesecake. You got to have a goal of what you're after, whether you got it or not. You got to have the goal. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So the first thing that I wanted to pull out of this text is that circumcision, the covenant comes before circumcision. The second thing I want you to get out of this text is change your name when you change your game. God said, if this is a game-changing moment, then this is a name-changing moment. Don't have a new game with your old name. You're trying to have a new game and a new encounter and a new walk and a new life, but you're still keeping your old name. Let everybody know this is a game changer, so it's a name changer. A name changer may mean a friend changer. You cannot be who you were and be who you are at the same time. Oh, this is so good. You cannot be who you were and be who you are at the same time. You got to decide. If you're serious about this thing, it's time to change your name. Now, when you change your name, you're saying an outward sign. Everything about me is going to line up with what just happened in my life. You were Sarai. Now you're going to be Sarah. Your name is going to line up with your destiny. I ought to be able to look at what you put out there and see where you're going. If you're going to be a classy woman, everything about you ought to be classy. Don't hide your class in floozy. And then get mad because I don't see it. I shouldn't have to be a prophet. I'm just giving examples for your consideration. I shouldn't have to be a prophet to see where you're going. You ought to dress like it. You ought to walk like it. You ought to talk like it. You ought to stand like it. You ought to interact with it. You ought to relate to it. You ought to be drawn to it. Change everything you got to change to line up with the game you got now. If you are not Slick Willie and you are now Deacon Williams, then get rid of your Slick Willie stuff. Change your Facebook site. Change your clothes. Take Slick Willie down off your logo. It's time. Oh, I lost you in here. That's right. That's right. I'm getting in your business. You're not serious about a new game if you're still walking around with your old name. God is rebranding Abraham. He's rebranding his wife. He's rebranding his life. He says, I want everything about you to line up with where you're going. If you're going fishing, don't wear a suit. Your destiny has to be associated with everything about you. Lest you confuse people about where you're going. How can you get people to follow you if they are confused? You won't have to beat on your chest and say, I'm the man of the house, if you be that. If you stand up and handle your business, everybody in the house will know. They don't want to hear it, Lord. He said, tell you anyway. How in the world can you be secretly pregnant? You might be secretly pregnant a few months, but eventually what's on the inside will show on the outside. If you understand that you can't be secretly pregnant, then you ought to understand that you can't be secretly great. If you are truly great, you won't have to tell me you're great. There's going to be some sign of greatness on you. And after a while, I'm going to tell you, you're great. I'll tell you, when's the baby coming? What's going on? You can't be pregnant and keep it a secret. The outside changes because the inside changes. The covenant comes before the circumcision. The pregnancy comes before the maternity clothes. You're spending all of your energies trying to convince other people of something that you don't believe yourself. So I thought that was important. Then he says to Abram, he says, everything in your house is going to be circumcised. Everything born out of you, everything adopted by you, everything bought by you. He said, I want there to be uniformity in everything in your house. That means connections matter. Connections matter. When you buy into something, everybody connected to you needs to buy into that same thing. He said, if you buy a son, circumcise him. If you rent one, circumcise him. If they stay up under your roof, circumcise him. Everything connected to you has to say what you're saying. Not going to say it. Snip, snip. Not coming in. Snip, snip. I'm going to have to cut you off. Because if we're going to be connected, we got to be connected. See, if you connect to something that is in total rebellion to where you're trying to go, you spend all of your energy fighting what you're connected to rather than fighting what you're going to. So you don't have the energy to get where you're going because you're spending all your energy fighting with what you're connected to. Connections matter. Am I helping somebody today? He said, everything in your house is going to have to come into alignment. I'm not just talking about kids and families and husbands and wives and all of that. I'm talking about everything, getting unity. Where people often ask me, can I just talk to you for a minute? People often ask me, they say, how do you do that? You preach, you pastor, you write books, You write scripts, you do movies, you do plays, you're doing talk shows. They said, how do you do all of that? To them, it's seven things. To me, it's one. See, the commonality between everything I do is communication. When I get through communicating over here, I'm going to go home and write my book. I'm going to go communicate over there. I'm going to do my talk show. I'm going to communicate over there. You shouldn't have anything in the house of your activities that does not line up with your brand. So if you limit what I'm saying to just talking about people, you're going to fuss all the way home in the car with your husband talking about, that's what's wrong with us now. We're not in agreement. That might be true, but that is the lesser side of a bigger issue. Sometimes you can live by yourself and not be in agreement, because there's too many different ones of y'all up under the same roof. Your Facebook says one thing. Your church life says something else. Your street boys know you as somebody else. Your extra girlfriend knows you as somebody. It's too many of y'all. And watch this. A house divided against itself shall not stand. You keep coming up with all these ideas to do things that are not interrelated. And if they're not interrelated and interconnected, then your creativity is divisive. Device. Division. The root of divisiveness is two visions. You are splitting your strength, trying to do too many things. If you're going to be effective, you got to focus. And everything in the house has to be kin, has to be connected. Am I helping anybody? We'll be right back after this. I've got to go, but before I leave, it would be remiss, irresponsible, if you please, if I would walk away without saying thank you, particularly to our partners, because of your kindness, your generosity, your simple acts of gratuitousness to me has made it possible for me to share the word of the Lord with so many people around the world. I thank you for how you allow God to work with you and being compassionate that I can do what I do in the kingdom of God. And to all of the hundreds of families that are covered up under the banner of your giving, we say thank you. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. From our staff to you, be blessed.